gentlemen. Hello. Welcome. Another episode of Inside the Game, episode 85. What the fuck is up, gentlemen? How is it doing? Or how's it going? We've got EG Xenocider, EG Suppy, and I'm sorry, I'm a little flustered on today's... I'm cutting the music. I'm a little flustered on today's intro because today we kind of have an intruder. You know, we have this guy, Liquid in Control, joining the cast for a week. We'll talk a little bit more about you in a moment and sort of what this treachery and whatnot that's going on here on Inside the EG. But first, hello, gentlemen. Gentlemen, Xenocider. How's it
gentlemen,
going, man?
Dude, today I had history class and... I found out that like George Washington would be like a god at
high school history class. By the way, for those that are listening,
would be a god at what?
At TBT, like he just outpositioned the British so hard. Like he went south, and then the British got baited south, and then he went back north, and then burned all the bridges, and then crossed the Delaware River. GG. So smart.
Damn.
Well, you know, if that's how you learn history, I'm all for it.
Oh, Lebo, my god. You mean to tell me a real-life general utilized war tactics and you're comparing it to a video game about war tactics?
He'll always remember that, though.
Yeah.
Liquid in Control.
He's like, Scooby-Doo would have been a great detective. He found clues to the crime, pieced them together, and then solved it. Whoa. But I don't want to crush your dreams. I'm glad you're learning.
Yeah. Thank you.
That is good. I like that you bring these little tidbits of factual life information that will certainly benefit others who are watching the program, no doubt. Suppy, gentlemen, Suppy, give me the good news, man.
I did not get to see Short Circuit.
Oh!
But I did see American Beauty.
Okay.
A scene of which Liquid in Control was acting in.
Okay.
Then EG in Control. That was pretty good.
Wait, you only saw one scene from the movie?
No. I saw the whole movie.
Okay.
It was like mind blowing, boggling, crazy.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely still looking forward to watching Short Circuit as soon as I can.
Okay. Okay. That's
what
good.
Is going on with your hair, by the way? Let's address that real
fucking
quick.
Fucking awesome! I love it.
You do look like Mini-Wheat right now. you're like a pair of glasses and Minecraft away from being the perfect Mini-Wheat impression right now.
GG.
You have no answer? Just that's your hair right now?
This is my hair right now.
All right. That's cool. I can roll with that.
I'll roll with it. Suppy, it looks good. You should wear it like that all the time. Look at...
That's what... I just woke up one day and I decided... Usually I wash my hair down because it just... When I wake up, it's like this. And usually I wash it down so it's like this. And then Benjamin and Bryce were like, that looks pretty good. But I don't think it looks good at all. But I just...
Well, you gotta commit. You know what I mean? Like, on the right side of your forehead, you have a little strand that's going down.
Yeah.
So it looks like an accent. Now it looks a little bit more on purpose. That's good. Get some gel in there. Some hairspray, probably, for your kind
hairspray.
Of hair. Looks a little more pliable.
Some wax, maybe? That ultimate flip going on. All right, you gentlemen... Liquid in Control.
Good evening.
How's it on the other side?
It's great. It's so funny. Like, it was one of those things where, and I've done this a million times in my life, because I tell bad jokes, you know, about 30 or 40% of the time. So I've told a lot of bad jokes in my days. But it's one of those things where, like, you start with a joke, everyone kind of laughs, then it keeps going. And people start, like, not laughing as much. That's what's happening inside of me with this joke. Like, I still, to this... every morning I wake up to 10 tweets from people like, I still just can't believe it. How is it without that paycheck? And how are you on the winning team now? And I'm like, that was funny. 2 days ago. You know, like, this week is going to be... It's, you know what the worst was, though? The worst ever was when we made that video where we talked about the EG curse. It greenlighted the entire StarCraft II universe to make the curse joke at us, EG.
We thought
we were owning the joke. We thought we were, like, you know, taking that back. But no, we just made it okay for everyone to make that joke. So for, like, I don't know, for like 5 months, everything. I'd be like, all right, turn into Inside the Game. People are like, well, I don't know. Is it cursed? I'd be like, But inside my head, I'm like, just shooting up people.
He is legit on liquid this week. Yes, that's true. How many people tweet you going, like, I mean, literally.
It's tricked a lot of people, or at least that's what they leave me to believe.
Yeah.
Which I didn't anticipate because I thought it was so obvious. I mean, and here's the thing. I've come to recognize this phenomenon a little bit more, but in the past, it used to be like something monumental would happen, and then when people ask me, like, hey, did DreamHack happen last weekend? I'd get kind of mad because I'm like, how do you not know about that, and why are you asking me? But I've learned that there's actually just so many people in gaming, really, but in StarCraft for, you know, my purposes, that have varying levels of commitment. Like, maybe they haven't seen or touched the game in 2 weeks, so this is completely bonkers to them. And it was a little bit of a humbling and a little bit of a wake-up moment for me because I can't help but to see the world through my eyes, you know? And in my eyes, StarCraft is the sweat, the mildew on the wall. But for a lot of other people, it's really in the background. So it's been a humbling experience for me. It's tricked a lot of people, and it annoys me. But then I always pull back the annoyance because it's like, hey, you know, let's be fair to those people. They're not pro gamers, so they don't know. So be nice to them.
So just in case anyone is watching that is not in the know, that actually is still bewildered by what is going on, this is a part of the tears from the Pizza GG campaign. And for the last, or for a week, you and TLO have basically switched spots. It resulted in the show WCS match. What's that?
I'll be liquid in control at the WCS Season 3 Finals this coming weekend as well.
Nice. Go in the full 9 yards.
Their first host that Team Liquid has ever sent to a tournament. I get that one in the book.
That's awesome. So tell me a little bit about the show match, because I didn't get to watch all of it, but when I did, it really kind of felt like you and TLO were pretty much embracing it fully.
It was fun. I was a little bit concerned just because there's so much build up to this. Like, you know, it took forever to get done, and there's people very upset about that. So that was definitely in the back of our minds. But then also, how interested are people going to be in a bunch of pro gamers playing off race? And I was really pleasantly surprised that we had a great audience. People were generally very happy that it was just being done. About 12,000 people tuned in, and TLO is fucking hilarious. So it was a real pleasure to work with him because he took all the jokes in stride and he dealt them back right back at me. So I'm told people enjoyed it and they thought it was quite funny. And that was the goal. That's what was supposed to happen. We weren't starting a revolution or something like that. So at the end of the day, the show match seemed to have been a success.
All right. Good job. All right. Any final thoughts on the show match? Or
we still have the pizza party to do, and the LOL team's going to make a dance video. So I just always want to reassure people that I'm making sure the conversation stays pretty relevant, that it seems like one of these WCS events is going to have a bunch of pizza dropped on their laps, and they're going to stuff their face full of grease. And then the LOL video, which of course the StarCraft 2 community is a lot less interested in, but still is one of the tiers, that's being worked on as well. Like, the LOL players are actually getting flown in from across the frickin' planet to do this video. So, it sucks it was late. If it hasn't been made clear before, and if I have to be that guy that does it, let me tell you, to speak on behalf of the people that are working on this, they're ashamed, embarrassed, and they're sorry. They wanted to get it done faster. You know, they have their excuses, but at the end of the day, if you're going to say you're going to do something, you should do it in a timely fashion. And that's the final message. I'd like it to go away, you know, like in the future when we do more activations like this, you bet your ass they're going to come out a lot quicker, or at least there's going to be more conversation about it. So that is the productive learned lesson this time around. But it was just kind of a painful experience to be at the front of, I would say, for me.
And I guess, let me just ask one other question. Like, I mean, you guys, communication seems to be one of the overlying issues of all of this, and sort of has been in esports for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, when a lot of the relation to the Kickstarters and some of the other not delivered activities have gone on, you know, they've related it to other Kickstarters where they're like, we got updates every week. We get live streams from these people. We get this or that or that. Do you think that as a whole, and EG included, like has to work more on education, or is there anyone that you think does it really well?
They need to do that 1,000 times better. And I'll just speak for EG on this. I don't need to go to anybody else. And you're right to say that this is all of esports, because it is something that kind of plagues us. And that expectation should be had. When you say, we're going to do this thing, and if you give a hard date, which they did not in the Pizza GG, but even if you don't give a hard date, you know, about a month or two passes, you probably should say something about when that should happen. You know what I mean? And let's get even away from the hard example. Let's just say in general, I feel like there is an acceptable level of communication, and so far it's not really being achieved. And you asked for a good example. Inside of esports, I don't know that I can really think of one. It seems like kind of a policy for a lot of people, because there's so much unknown and because there's so many moving parts, is that it's safer to not give too much information, because then it builds up the momentum of bad. If you're like, yeah, we'll do it, and then 5 months later of you saying, yeah, we'll do it, becomes your mantra, and it delegitimizes your entire business. So that's the risk. That's why people don't do it.
But I
think it's so powerful when someone says, we'll do it.
I think increasing the amount of communication puts even a little bit more, I'm trying to say, like, it encourages them to fulfill it even more.
Done.
I mean, it should be an issue, but it provides them with the motivation. It's like, we said we're going to do this, you know.
It's easier to believe on both sides that it's not important and that it won't get done, which is the greatest evil, right? Like, this was never not going to done. That was kind of part of the funny conversation that happened, is that because of that article that came out, and then this being done like 2 days later, there was enough people that were like, well, you only did that because of this article. Couldn't be further from the truth. I had my overlays, you know, 2 weeks in advance. We actually canceled on 2 dates before that because of players' tournaments and stuff like that. Like, it was definitely coming out. But because there was no updates, this is now the problem we face, where it looks like it was just rushed together in one day. And what's the big deal? You guys just played StarCraft. You play StarCraft all the time. That's the kind of criticism you face when you're on radio silent, when you don't have any words out there. But when you have words out there and you're feeding people information about the process, I feel like they're more informed, like you said. But also, it makes you get it done. I mean, think about how bad it is when you're like, I know we said 2 months ago we'd do it, but it should be any month now. Like, nobody says that because they want to get it done.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's actually segue into a project that I certainly believe in. I think everyone on this show believes in, and they recently kicked off an Indiegogo, which was successful, but even with 8 hours left, I feel like there's still a contribution to be made, and that is to the GameHeart redesigned. I'm sure that you guys are all all familiar with this. Am I right?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, it's very simple, you guys. You know, I think you probably all know about this, but in my opinion, one of the best sort of like of this type, even better than some of what has been achieved with the Blizzard sort of customizable UI. But they went for an $8,000 goal. They've now hit $9,313. There's still 8 hours left to go. And I would encourage anyone who enjoys watching StarCraft to, you know, not only throw a few bucks their way, but also spread the word in any way you can. If you've never used GameHeart, you've probably seen it before. But I'd love to hear from you guys in terms of your experiences or what you think and what you feel about these types of projects as it relates to, you know, the competitive aspect and the viewing of that competitive aspect.
Well, I want to give credit where credit's due as well, real quick. I know that he's not supposed to be named on the show for sins of the past, but a gigantic shout-out to Destiny, who does have a big fan base, who does have a really good relationship, for better or worse, with the community, and he came in and did some serious awesome with this. He said, I'll stream StarCraft. It's something his fans and people have been asking for a long time. As long as you donate money towards this project, which is unanimously good. There's nobody out there that's like, I don't really like GameHeart for what they stand behind. It's generally a good thing, and it's talented people within the community needing money to continue to share that talent with the rest of us. And he stepped up and they got it done. And then the other guy that we're not going to talk about this because it's not what we're doing on Inside the Game, but Richard Lewis, the author of that article, one of the things that I do respect about him is that he actually posted an apology saying, I didn't mean to say that all Kickstarters are bad in esports. These guys are doing an awesome job. They've always done an awesome job. You should support them too. And that kind of come together and that kind of positivity resulted in them hitting their goal, as DJ Wheat said, in like a night. And now they're over their goal. And the idea here is that hopefully the viewing experience for everyone in competitive StarCraft II is increased and bettered because of this. And a tip of the fucking hat to everyone involved, including, of course, the GameHeart guys. So that's my piece. I'm really excited about it.
Zeno and Suppy, as both a player and a spectator, what do you think about this? And what's your thoughts on GameHeart and the initiative?
I think it's really nice as a player to like not have any disconnecting problems, like when you're loading up or something like that. Usually, like when you play GameHeart, you just go out and then you're actually in the game and you can fully prepare because there's like a countdown inside the game as well. So there's pretty much no way for anything to screw up. So I think it's a really nice system, and obviously the sponsorship representation that GameHeart brings is really nice. So yeah, it's great that I got it funded.
I'm just overall pleased that we have one of these Kickstarters and that it's going to be an example of promises that are going to be kept. And instead of all the negativity, hopefully this will generate some more positivity in the scene. So,
you know, I don't know if you guys saw through all the stretch goals, which a stretch goal is basically they shoot for a goal, and if they hit the stretch goal, then they kind of guarantee that this is the feature we're going to put in the game. But you know, if it did go as far as 18,000, the thought of like these sort of integrated player intros, you know, that's something that I think could be so unique to StarCraft because it represents a 1v1 game, and right now that it other than say some of the fighting games, like there's a big abundance for 1v1 games. So the fact that you could do that with assets and sort of bring that value to any competition or any tournament, I think that's rather amazing. I mean, talk about the ultimate in celebration of players that have sort of reached that competitive level to be in these competitions and in these tournaments. And although it might be a giant undertaking, which hence I'm sure the reason why this stretch goal was so high, I think something like that could be could just be so good because it's so unique.
Yeah, I like it. I think it's just a good thing all around. It's nice right now that there's good being discussed and that people are accomplishing that. And like I said, I'm excited to see what they innovate. I mean, they started this overlay thing, this UI thing. You know, I mean, like there's a whole bunch of different ones going around now, and it's nice. It's just increased and improved the viewing experience for everyone in StarCraft II. So it's cool that now money's being poured in it to maybe optimize and perfect that.
Yeah, and actually Ryan is in our chat right now, and he says even if it doesn't meet the goal, he's going to try to find a way to work with tournaments or teams to do something similar to promote players and their accomplishments. And you know, again, that would be that'd be pretty amazing. Obviously, all the support it would be great. And you can I'll link inside the chat as well. But you know, I wanted to kind of also reference this to the discussion that we had last week about Rhett talking about the elegance of StarCraft II. And in the elegance, some of that is also the information that, you know, you have to be able to show a player for them to, you know, be able to quick glance what are the upgrades or this. And this is something that I feel like GameHeart actually helps to do quite a bit. They could potentially start to put a little bit more focus on the elegance that, you know, that Rhett was speaking of. But I would like to see this really, you know, frankly become almost a standard. I think it'd be pretty amazing.
I think it will, and they're paving the way.
Yeah, they are. I pasted the link inside of chat. There we go. And also there's a Reddit thread too, you know, leave your comments, your support. about the final day for the Indiegogo for Gameheart. Another great article that I saw this week, and I don't know if you guys checked this one out, but the reason I love this article was twofold. A, it's just a great story, and you know how I love great stories in esports, but B, it really is, for the first time, a story about what I've always felt the heart of WCG was all about. And this, of course, is the article that is was done by...
Sora.
Done by Zealously and Wax Angel, and it's The Sky is the Limit, Sora's Tale. Did anyone get a chance to read this article? Suppy, I see you shaking your head.
Yeah, I did.
I just want to talk about it. I mean, for those that don't know, it's very simply, it talks about Sora's 14-0 run through WCG. And how this is sort of like a story of something that shouldn't have happened. But, Suppy, what are your take on it?
I think it's just a great thing that, you know, they took a good story and everybody already heard of it, but they really embellished it and added all sorts of details that I think in the conclusion it's talking about how he's about to play in Code A, and I think it's something that makes us all really excited to watch him and see if he can continue the storyline. And I think that's always a good thing, to reveal the stories of an individual player, kind of highlight them, and just it just makes everything so much more fun to watch when you know there's a really nice storyline behind it.
You know what's really funny about Sora, though? Like, it's just, it's so hard to make it in the amateur scene. Like, essentially, when he qualified, or like when he got second place in this WCG qualifier, he had to go on a run that would be very comparable to what you would need to get a Code S victory. Like, if you just look at the caliber of players that he 2-0'd, like, it's almost unimaginable for somebody to come out of nowhere and lay down the law like that. So, just that much more impressive, I suppose.
Yeah, the story itself is absolutely incredible. For people that aren't familiar, it's a guy that literally quit his job and was just like, I want to go for this. I think I can do it. And then, like Zeno said, he actually defeated a ridiculous list of people, including Bomber, I believe, that is, you know, certainly at the end of WCS Season 2, people were naming him as one of the best players on the planet, for sure, and had this amazing run, and he's just kind of a pretty cool human being about it the entire time. And this article is really, really cool to be a bit of the, you know, to stand up to you EG guys and all your relentless positivity, which I'm getting sick and tired of. I guess my only, like, not even devil's advocate, but my voice that I would put out there is that the kind of the shame of this is that with the infrastructure of esports, this article is so stunning and so awesome, but this happened a while ago. This is about at least several weeks, maybe a month late, right?
Yeah.
And I guess what I would say is that I would always want us to push, and this is, again, you know, Wax Angel and the guy that wrote it, like, I think Wax Angel might be staff on Team Liquid, but... Yes. I know that their writers are not. They're mostly, I believe, volunteers. But I'd love it if we got to a place where this kind of article came out a day or two later, ESPN style, which I know, obviously, an impossible standard. But that's how you build up that guy's storyline, and then it gives him a chance to grow momentum, because when it kind of pops up willy-nilly a couple months later, a month later, it's a really cool story, and people, their interest in him is going to flare for a second. But without that next Sora thing, or for him to try and build up on that momentum, doesn't do as much. So again, please hear me. This is not me hating on the article or saying it's terrible. I love the article. It's great. It's me voicing my wish that we had a better infrastructure where this kind of stuff came out at a more relevant time as opposed to a month later.
You know, I don't necessarily share those same concerns, because I really just look at an article like this, and not only is it a great read, but with all the discussion these days on what is good journalism, this was an article that I sat down and I read, and I was like, oh, you know, I learned something. You know, it was a good story. I mean, yeah. I want esports to get to that level too, and you know, I think we all do in some respects. And you know, honestly, for all those guys that are out there that are trying to break into esports, and even though there's a lot of journalists with one name, like, God, you write a story like that and just get a little bit of exposure, and I'm sure that there would be a number of people that would enjoy reading this. You know, like, obviously, I think that we all originally got into this for the love of the game, but also we follow it a lot for the love of the players. And yeah. It's not, you know, it's not often you get to hear about just an amazing run like that. So I really wish that articles like this would almost be used as a staple for what I personally would like to see more of, whether that's existing players that we know about or players that we don't know about. And obviously, I mean, Sora fits, he's sort of a known player, but in terms of what he did and his accomplishments, like, this is great. Even if
but
it was historical.
It came out of nowhere, man. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Until that run at WCG, nobody did know Sora.
Right, right.
That was cool.
Good on him. And again, thanks Team Liquid and the crew that worked on that for the article. Good stuff. You can just find it. I think it's featured on TL News right now over on Team Liquid, obviously. So, yeah, we've talked the last few... someone hasn't updated their phone yet. We've talked the last
it
few...
It is updated, thank you very
what?
Much.
It is? It's yeah. on iOS 7? You're using the old chimes?
No, it's the new one. I don't know. I didn't change it.
No, the new one's like...
I didn't change the thing. This is just what it is.
I don't have my phone next to me, otherwise I'd tell you to
And listen. My phone was letting us know that Astro Gaming retweeted us. Big shout out to them. Thank you very much.
Thank you, one of the sponsors of the show. Thank you very much. What was I going to say? Oh, yes. We've been talking about some bad news, some retirements, players moving on. And I'm sure that you guys saw this as well. New info about Woongjin Star right after the news of several members being cut. And again, a report that comes from Wax Angel, a few of the other folks over bringing some of this news. And remember, there was this collaboration, right? Exactly. Thank you, Seppi. That obviously is going to help promote and get awareness for some of this news. But did any of you guys kind of get this? That maybe wants to go over the gist of what this is. Anyone read through it? And
it basically says that like. Woongjin is having some problems right now, and Solki is like guaranteed to have signed like a personal thing, and SOS is still up for grabs, and then basically everybody else has been cut.
What do you guys think it means when it you know, we're not going to disband, but they get rid of most of the, is this a rebuild? Is this what we're witnessing?
I feel like it's a rebuild, and like I read that they were having issues coming to getting a fair or like a contract that the players would like. So I'm thinking maybe they're just going to keep their two star players and perhaps just get really, really cheap players or something like that.
They said that, or at least I saw someone say that they said that. I don't speak Korean.
Right.
They said they're going to sign a bunch of, you know, like four or five.
Trainees.
Rookies, basically. Yeah, trainees is the word I think they used.
Trainees.
Which is really weird, especially because they got a really high placing in Pro League last season, which is pretty important to the Kespa teams, as far as I know. Mm-hmm. Or at least it used to be.
It's tough because, and again, just so everyone's clear, this is speculation on our part. None of us are like Korean business managers or majors or something like that. But I feel... one of the voices that should be expressed here, not necessarily voices, I guess, but one of the perspectives, is that this could be an IGN-esque situation where, because it's been talked about for several months now that Woongjin, the main sponsor, has actually been having issues as an actual parent company, like literally just they are in trouble, as well as a few others. I know that, my memory's going to fault me, but it's been circling around. So it was kind of one of those things that was always possible of happening, and it's unfortunate it happened now. The kind of cool thing is that they're going to continue to support Solki and SOS, two guys that on an international level have done amazingly well and are awesome.
Right.
So I'm glad that they're not just floating around like that. That would give me a really sick to my stomach feeling. It does suck that any of these guys were let go because, as Zeno said, this is your regular season first place Pro League team. Like, they did really freaking well. Or no. Yeah, no, it was Woongjin, right? Yeah, it was Woongjin.
Regular season, yeah.
Just making sure I was right on that. So that all just kind of sucks, but I don't... It's nice to see, by the way, and I usually keep a pretty good pulse on the community, you know, people on the forums and stuff. People weren't losing their shit about this. Like, it sucks, but no one's like, well, there it is, sky's falling. So it sucks, but it's not the end of the world, and it seems like the people kind of recognize that, so it's nice.
It might be a little bit more Sky is Falling if actually Solky and SOS were left without a team, and the team did disband.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
You know, like Seppi said, if it's kind of based on the idea that maybe there's some rebuilding going on, that's at least...
They mentioned salaries. In the article, it said that the players could not agree on salaries, which is interesting, because if that was an ESF team, I would have that like snicker of, well, you don't really pay them anyways, so what? How bad could it be? But KESS was actually... Those teams are pretty well known for actually paying their players a respectable salary for the most part. If you are a trainee or like an up-and-comer, you're paid $0 and you're just sitting in the house and you're kind of a slave. But that's Korean like esports culture. But they're big dogs. They're all paid pretty good money, actually. And I could tell you that from experience through Jadong as well, who we are like subletting, you know.
So I'm wondering what's going to happen to those players. Like Zero and Free, those are like some really big names. And do you think they're going to go to another KESPA team? Or do you think maybe ESF or like foreign teams? What do you think they're going to do?
They have a week. They have a week to be on another KESPA team, and then after that, they can either retire or go to a non-KESPA team. Like, that's their choices. Which I'm not sure why there's that deadline, but it's pretty brutal.
And, sorry.
Well, I was just going to ask if you thought that any of these players that left could end up on Western teams.
I mean, maybe. The kind of sad thing is that right now it's not 2010, where if someone became a free agent... It wasn't a question of will they go on a team. It was more which team did they go to.
Right.
Because there's nobody that, like, there was no top-level players just floating around. Teams were gobbling them up faster than they could appear because that's when StarCraft II was number one. But now, it's kind of scary. Genius is a fucking awesome StarCraft II Korean pro gamer who is going to the top eight of WCS Europe, not on the team. San just got picked up by a Taiwanese team. And he is a, you know, deep code S, very strong Protoss kind of player. There's these kind of guys floating around. I have no doubt that I'm sure Zero and a couple of the others will get picked up hopefully fairly quickly, but it's a scary time right now to be a free agent. I would not, if you're a player trying to play this game professionally, I do not know that you want to just, I mean, it's not like it was their choice, but it's just scary, I guess, the point I'm trying to make.
No. Okay. All right, well, let's talk about some WCS. Currently, we've got AM on right now, which we'll get to in just a moment. But let's talk a little bit about Korea and then EU, and then we'll kind of round it out. We didn't really talk that much about WCS last week. So since we have a little bit of extra time, we'll get us a chance to catch up. Where we last left off was group stage number 2, round of 16 in Korea, ending with the round of 8 playoffs about ready to begin. Actually, I think the playoffs weren't fully filled out, and now they are. So let's talk a little bit about that. We had, in the final two groups, we had Parting and Maru advance, and Jokji, and, it was Jokji and So advancing to give out the last four spots. But we now have Deer versus Trap, Jokji versus Maru, Solky versus Rain, and So Su versus Parting. Let's talk a little bit about this top eight. Anyone want to comment on the groups? I know we didn't talk about it. Flash not making it through. Maru
Innovation
did make it. I think that was actually, yeah, and then obviously Innovation not making it through. But your thoughts?
On the top eight or the groups?
Whatever you want, man.
All right. I'll just talk about something that I was like really intimate with, the Maru versus Flash
Ooh.
Game.
Ooh.
Tell us, how intimate were you with that?
Very, very.
Wow.
But anyways, like, Maru used the exact same KESPA killer build style that he used versus Innovation versus Flash, because he knows that, or I don't know if he knows, but his playing style is very good in TVT right now, where it's like KESPA players are all about like the British way of like, we won't fight during the winter, let's just play standard and stuff like that.
And you're all about this shit.
Wow.
Are you listening, America? Are you listening to this education and how it's being applied? This is beautiful. StarCraft, man. It's a learning tool.
yeah, but Mario, man, he'll proxy a starport, and that's, and also the game I heard between Parting and Mario Game 3 was one of the most insane, or was it Parting vs. Flash? Was one of the most insane.
Yeah.
Yes. Parting vs. Flash. It was a glorious game.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about it. Tell us about it, Control.
It was base trade-esque. I want to say Acklon Wastes. But just, I don't know. I almost don't even want to spoil it. There wasn't anything that I can recall that was like mind-bendingly, you've never seen this before kind of thing, but it's just one of those cool, you recognize that both these guys are at the top of the game. Maybe they're not the best Terran, best Protoss, but they're in the top, like, three, you know, maybe four or five, if you're particularly cynical. And when that happens, and the game goes into a stranger place, and decisions are made at the most immediate moments, I feel like that's when a lot of us old folks that watched Brood War and played Brood War can't escape the beauty of the game. Like, it's just like, oh, he did that choice too, and it was so good! Ah! And you're like, and he's micing it really well, and he's not forgetting it. It was just an amazing game. It's really cool.
Should check it out. Let's talk about the top eight, unless you had any comments on the group, Suppy.
Only thing I was sad about was DRG getting knocked out. I was, like, super hyped for him after he beat Innovation, but he's been streaming recently, and that's actually really cool. He's really good English, and he like has been playing on NA and just trolling people with his English. It's pretty funny. But other person I was really, really impressed with was Sue, and obviously because I've been watching all the Zerg players, and I think based on the way he played, he only got second in his group, but I think he's really strong right now. So perhaps in the top eight. I'm really hoping he takes out Parting, just for the record.
Well, what do you think about that? Parting, who's just been like, I think he gave up his left arm and has replaced it with a very sharp axe, and he just sort of chops through people. Right now, even in the past month, the recent rankings were released showing that Protoss definitely having an edge over Zerg, and Parting is one of those opponents that pushes it to the limits. So what do you guys think about Sue's chances there?
Parting, the only Zerg that Parting has played so far in the group stage one and group stage two is Solki, and he lost Solki 2-0. He's pretty much made it here off of his PvP and his PvT, so, which is kind of like, his PvT is kind of what he's known for, like the storms and stuff. I don't know, he hasn't really been tested, and it's kind of weird.
So you think you're saying he's got a chance?
He's got a chance.
Definitely has a chance. Parting has always been, he's an amazing, he's one of the best pros players, but I always think of when he faces a pretty good Zerg as there's a pretty good shot at him going down. But we'll see. I think he's the favorite. The marquee matchup for me, and there's two really, really interesting ones. I mean, they're all great pairings, but Rain Solki has to take the cake as one of the absolute best matches, because Rain is, again, you know, that robotic, just absolute, probably the best Protoss. If not, then he will be the next week when you watch him beat the guy you thought was better than him. And then Solki is the magic man, man. That guy just kind of beats people and is just constantly a threat to win whatever tournament he's in. So that I'm just like, that day is secure. I will be watching that frickin' match because that's going to be glorious. But then the other interesting one for me, too, is like Maru. Maru's like the unassuming previous champion, like you know, like he just kind of snuck in there and won one of these damn things, but then that was overshrouded because then like the following weekend he didn't win the entire world tournament, so everyone forgot that he only won Korea. But he's facing Jakchi, who's literally like the spiritual embodiment of that very situation from years past, where Jakchi's actually a GSL champion, but nobody remembers that one either. And they're both kind of stranger Terran players. Like, nobody would be like, oh, Maru versus Jakchi. This should be a by-the-book, completely straight-up series. Like, they both play just absolutely passive, and they're just, nope. This is going to be crazy. It's going to be really exciting, and both of these guys have something to prove. Maru, the young, recent champion who wants to make, you know, a real name for himself. And then Jakchi, the guy that's been tearing it up, and can he do it again? It's going to be really cool.
What do you guys think of In Control's summary there?
It's pretty accurate. I actually think that, like, without innovation and Bomber in the playoffs, I think that Protoss has, like, a really good chance of taking it this season. Hasn't happened in, I think, a while, actually. So I definitely think that Rain can beat Solky. I've got Rain beating Solky just because whenever I doubt Rain, it pretty much falls on me. And when I watched Rain play versus Tasia, like, I felt like maybe Rain's a little bit weaker in PBT compared to his other matchups, but I'm not sure.
Well, Tasia's just on fire right now, except he did lose the one last or major yesterday, which was a pretty big upset.
Finn won, though.
Yeah, he won in the final game.
Why you gotta be spoiling shit, man? We're not to America.
I'm sorry.
Oh, shit.
Gosh, man.
I'm interested. Hey, is this distribution pretty, like, normal, like, in terms of ESF Kespa? There's six, I believe there's six Kespa and two ESF players.
Is it normal?
Last time it was half and
what
half.
What are you driving at, Seppy?
I don't know. Kespa's still pwning everybody.
They're just lucky that WCS NA Koreans aren't involved, because then they'd all get smashed.
Ah, that's true.
These jobbers like Parting and Rain and Solky. Easy.
Easy. All right, WCS EU. This weekend, actually, after the Riot Worlds on Saturday and Sunday, it's going to be the EU Season 3 Premier Finals, Top 8. I'm trying to bring it up. I'm buying time as I bring it up. And we, again, get into a situation where I didn't talk about the final groups. I believe the last two groups that were played were the Group C and D, Genius, Nurtio, 4GG, and Showtime, and MMA, Duck Duck, Titan, and Starbuck. And then we'll talk a little bit about the top eight. Anyone have any comments about these last two groups? I think this is pretty close to what I think you guys all kind of went with this. I don't remember if there was any comments made about 4GG, but it was Genius and Nurtio advanced.
Yeah, Nurtio advancing over 4GG was a bit of a surprise, but not really. You know, Nurtio's so damn good that
he is.
when he hits his stride, he can beat anybody. But as I watched that, I watched all of these groups. I just can't really recall. I'm trying to pull it myself. I was pretty much expecting 4GG to make it through there because he's really good too. But Nurtio holding it down for the European continent and representing one less or allowing one less Korean to represent them. I still, and I'm just going to call it now, I think Genius is going to win the whole damn thing.
Genius?
He just will, yeah. He's going to win the whole thing.
That is a very, very bold call.
Ooh.
You think so? Who's the favorite over Genius, would you say?
Round one.
I'll say in the tournament, I think MMA's the tournament favorite, but also say that Duck Duck has some really, really sick PvP. And I think, like, the last time he advanced through the finals was off the back of his PvP. So, yeah, in that particular matchup, Duck Duck is good. But I feel like overall, MMA is doing really, really well recently.
Lebo, does that mean you're giving Genius the win over Duck Duck and then MC the win over Targa, letting Genius kind of sneak through the finals on two PvPs?
Oh, no, I think Duck Duck's going to beat Genius. And I think Targa's going to beat MC.
So, you think so?
Yeah.
Targa's going to beat MC?
I think Targa's going to beat MC. But, okay.
Well, okay. I'm looking at this. Duck Duck took Genius. That would be really sad, though.
Targa, too, beat Stardust, man. And
he beat Wellmu. He didn't play Stardust.
Oh, never mind. Okay. But
that's what you're basing it off of?
He's a European dream, man. Doing really well recently.
I mean, hey, I'm not going to hate on Targa. You're like, he beat Stardust, and he's like, no, he didn't. You're like, oh, never mind. Then he's not going to beat MC. What? You're doing like...
And he beat Naniwa. Right? He beat Naniwa.
He did beat Naniwa.
The percentage chance or your thoughts on a Nurtio, a Vortex, or a Targa winning this? If one player can do it, who do you put your money on? Nurchio? Vortex?
Nurchio.
Here's the thing. If DuckDuck does beat Genius in PvP, and he very well could, because I agree, he's very good PvP, and then MC takes care of business and beats Targa, DuckDuck could beat MC as well. But I feel like whoever comes out from the other side, sans Stardust, they would beat DuckDuck pretty hard. I don't mean to be a hater, but I think DuckDuck is quite... I think we're all going to agree on this. He's extremely cheesy, which works in PvP, and he's not as cheesy in PvP. But I have his PvT stung in my brain when he faced Tasia at WCS Season 2 Finals, and it was like 9 minutes of the worst PvT I've ever seen in two games. And it was probably 9 minutes of the worst PvT that Tasia's ever seen as well. He actually just kind of made 3 bunkers in both games and won. And that was it. And of course, there's more to DuckDuck than just that, but... I mean, there's going to be some DuckDuck defender out there that's going to be like, now, in 2012, April, he played a macro game on Shakira's plateau, and it was beautiful. I'll be like, all right, you're right. He doesn't always cheese.
So Vortex, going purely off ladder, which is not really that relevant, but it does say something about skill. Vortex, even when MMA was playing, he was maintaining rank 1, actually beating MMA consistently on ladder, and actually crushing Stardust like on a consistent basis also on ladder. Like, Vortex was handing it to people on ladder, but I'm not sure how that translates into tournaments, but it actually does show that Vortex can or has the fundamentals to beat them in practice. It just depends on how he translates them to tournaments.
I actually would absolutely agree with what Xenocider says. I think that we've seen that in the past. One thing I think is nice is that at least I believe this is being done in the ESL studios, right? And I feel like that's a much more comfortable and chill environment and much less like a big stage environment. And so It's probably lesser of an issue here. I feel if Vortex can bring his A game, he can at least make it to the semifinals. I would love, well, it's best of 5-2, but I'd love to see at least that happen.
It could happen. I'm excited. I look at all these and they're cool for different reasons. I like PvP these days, so Genius DuckDuck is cool. DuckDuck, defending champion, right? That's what we say?
Yep.
Yeah, he won the last one. Okay, so That's interesting. MC is like the old guard that still kind of gets it done. He's not the MC of the past. He's not nearly as dominant. The scene's a lot more competitive, but he still like finds a way to win. And he's going up against Targa, who's this really crafty but played super solid, beating really big name players to get here. Australian/European hybrid. And then Stardust Vortex, really cool for different reasons. Stardust calls himself Star Cheese Shit and stuff like that. Like, he's very self-deprecating about his style, but whatever, it works. And then Vortex suffers a little bit from the Lucifron curse, where it's like the expectation for him is to be in the finals of this tournament because everyone thinks he's that good, but he hasn't done that quite yet. And that can be a bigger monkey on your back than when nobody expects it, and you don't have that pressure, and then you represent that skill, and then you get there. And Nurchio MMA, who I feel like nobody can predict that. You shouldn't be able to predict that because they're teammates, and they're both, I mean, that they're both ladder players. Like, Nurchio, I'm guessing, does a lot of his training on the ladder, but as teammates, you talk about the matchups, you talk about the games, you know each other very well, or you just watch every match that your teammate plays. So this is going to be a wonky, weird one. And Nurchio's the guy, by the way, who if he thinks you, like, for example, he's like, oh, you 3CC every game, then I will do a 18-drone roach bust. Like, he will craft builds to beat you, not to make the most glamorous game. He's not like that. So if Nurchio finds an in on MMA, that could be 15 minutes of the ugliest StarCraft you've ever seen. But yeah, it's a Nurchio win.
I think Nurchio is, bar none, the best player at selecting a build before any matchup. He always chooses the best build. We see him do coin flips pretty often, but he always flips it right. And that's why he gets
called a hacker.
Yeah, that's why people call him a hacker. But he's really good at that. And that's why I think he's a super strong tournament contender.
Yeah,
especially if he beats MMA. Whereas Vortex, yeah, I think he's a stronger player, like, standard, but Vortex is always one of the players who gets really far and just, like, kind of, like, I don't know if it's nerves or something, but he just can't get that little extra boost that he needs to make it to the very end. So
when he clears that hump, People got to watch out, I think.
Yeah, it's true.
Yes.
That's why I just can't shut my eyes ever.
He's a full-time student again, by the way.
Yeah? I don't know so, if that's
it,
good
it's
or bad.
Different. It, yeah, exactly.
Polk?
Like, Nurchi has Polk? Never been full-time, and look what he's done.
Yeah, yeah. There you go. All right. This starts this weekend on Saturday and Sunday, so you've definitely got something to watch this weekend as far as WCS is concerned. Let's move on to AM, which is currently in progress right now. Minigun versus Crank PvP that is sitting at 1-1. But we're in the final group for AM before we move on to the round of 16. Seems like it's lagging behind a little bit, but it's about to catch up here in the next week or so. Currently, we got Scarlet, Crank, Minigun, Puck, but I believe we're like two or three groups that we didn't get a chance to really discuss since our last show. One of them is definitely Group E with Huck and Tasia and Major and Top. And I think that might actually be the only one because there's some time off. So let's talk about E and H. H currently going on right now and Group E, which took place last night.
It's a crazy group.
Group. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, and Huck's in the chat and he's a teammate. So I'm going to say what I'm about to say very carefully. Because I don't want to discredit this at all. I watched all the games. They're awesome. The PvP against Zoo in particular is really cool. The three sentries trapping the freaking immortals into that corner. That's the kind of stuff that a champion will do that's just goes through shit and we love it. But I feel if Major doesn't upset Tasia, Huck gets absolutely murdered by Tasia, which I'm guessing he probably... I hope he doesn't take too much offense to that because I would say that about most people. But they'd get absolutely murdered by Tasia. But because Huck was able to take care of business in what I feel is competitively his best matchup, PvP, he then gets the weaker Terran Major in the TvP matchup, takes care of business there as well. Like, it was a really cool series, but Huck was pretty far ahead. You know, I know it went 2-1, but I felt like Huck was always going to win that series. He gets some help, is what I'm saying. Like, Huck versus Tasia, which is what probably should have happened in that winner's match, that's some scary crap. And then, I mean, then Huck has to beat the people he beat anyways to take the second spot, so he probably does do that. But I feel like that was kind of nice of Major. I feel like he needs to buy him a chalupa or something, maybe some nachos, and he needs to send it his way and say thank you. A little ribbon on it.
I think you're just saying that because he's your teammate, but... Tasia.
You mean?
Oh yeah, that's right. Team liquid bias.
What'd you guys think?
It was cool though. It was cool.
The match, and you know, it's kind of funny because like it take away that group, but we've definitely seen situations where you know a player is won over another player, and that maybe enabled a person to go into the winner's match versus a matchup that they're really comfortable with. That normally, you know, if they would have had to play it out, it would have taken time, but. You know, I think that's part of the game.
Yeah, especially the Tasia versus Major series. The first one, I think Major played really, really, really solid. And, like, his gameplay overall was just fundamental. And he played it out. Game two, he kind of pulled out like some wonky 2-base stuff. But, like, overall, it was, like, a really well-played TVT. If they had covered up his name and put it like some like hard or a Korean in there, I wouldn't have guessed. But unfortunately,
so as a Terran, oh, go ahead. Sorry.
I mean, I was just gonna say, unfortunately, he didn't make it out overall versus Tasia because I think Tasia like kind of picked it up once he got a little bit warmed up. But
they
yeah.
were good series too, though. Even that second one where Major loses, I think he lost 1-2, right?
No, he lost 0.
Was it 0-2?
Yeah, it was 0-2. It was.
I must be still thinking of the first series. Yeah. But Major played really well, is the bottom line. I thought he did a really good job.
You know, in that matchup, Major versus Tasia, as a Terran, like what were two or three qualities that you saw in Major that you know impressed you and you felt like gave him the win over Tasia?
I think it's just like his ability to create advantages. Like some people like. They think when they play versus Koreans, if they like sit there and make units, like advantages will come to them. But and it is very often not the case. Like Major had really good multitasking throughout the series. Whenever Tasia did something, he always had something to match. Like when Tasia would send like an attack, he would send a counter drop. And in the first series, it worked. And in the second series, not so much.
Great. Let's talk. Well, Hawk and Tayshia obviously advancing out of that group major with the big win, but not making it through. Group H is live right now with Scarlett sitting 1-0 with the 2-1 map record. Puck 0-1 with 1-2 in the second match. The winner between Minigun and Crank will go on to face Scarlett for the winner's match. What do you guys think? Who's going to come out here on top? I mean, do I need to...
Scarlett. Salsa Scarlett.
Sasha Salsa.
Big kudos to Minigun right now. He's playing an awesome PvP against Crank. Crank is a sick, good PvP player. He's just a good player in general. Looks like Crank is about to take a pretty big advantage right here, but he's been playing great. As far as the group's concerned, if it wasn't for the fact that Scarlett just took a giant break and was gone for a month in China, I would say easily Scarlett. But I'm going to go with the uber hipster, super Gosu, number one top pick that no one else will pick because I'm that hipster right now. I think Crank takes first, and I'm going to say Minigun comes back from behind and takes out Scarlett.
Ooh.
Boom.
No. That is so...
You want to know
tell
why?
Tell us how that's not going to happen, Suppy. Yes, and then Suppy.
Because I'm going to apply some Lebo science here, and Suppy knows this.
Science, bitch.
If ladder is any indication, Suppy, you know where I'm going with this. My name is Jeff In Control Robinson, and I am going to tell you right now, I went 1-1 with Scarlett on the ladder, which by transitive properties means I am the second best player in North America, but also, uniquely, the only person here that can comment on her current skill. And I will tell you, as a person that has destroyed her one time on ladder in a meaningless game that doesn't actually matter at all, where she was smurfing the Acela, that she's not in good enough shape to take this group. Yeah. So, I mean, that's science. That's math. There's a little bit of quantum history. Physics in there. History. I mean, I'm applying knowledge, basically. And I dare you to go try it. Go up against science, Wheat. I dare you.
I don't play that shit. I believe in science, man. Suppy, though, what do you have to say? Do you want to have some counter Lebo science go on here?
Scarlett has been back for 5 days, and so it's not been a ton of time, and of course she is rusty. That being said, the other two players... No. If we are to go by ladder, they're like... I don't even think they have been laddering. I don't even know what they've been doing.
Exactly. And
so,
except for the games against me.
She's been... Okay, she... No, she's not been doing well on ladder, fine, but...
This is not a very convincing argument, Seth. You're supposed to tell us why Minigun is not going to come from behind. Because, I mean, well, wait, who just won?
Minigun's not going to...
Crank?
Minigun hasn't even been playing ladder, man. I don't even know what he's been doing.
I know, that's the bad thing. He's my horse, and that guy's been playing more LOL than freaking...
But last time he played, like, literally 2 weeks straight of LOL, and then he went in and... took first place in his group, so...
Yeah, but this time he has a really tough group.
It could happen.
Scarlett's been playing 2 weeks of being in China, so... maybe.
Hey, that's not a game, man. I have no follow-up joke to that. I know that to be true.
Yeah.
Not playing? Not playing in China, right? Like visiting on vacation, doing cool stuff.
Like the freaking wall and shit.
Okay,
cool. Oh, no. She was just visiting and, like... like vacationing with
okay, so, you know, I brought this up before, but there's that weird phenomenon when sometimes people take a little bit of time off and they just, like, you know, come in and write, and then they do it. I mean, do you guys feel like this is one of these long-time urban myths of esports, or do you think that this could actually exist? Do you think there's anything to that?
What?
This whole, you know, we've seen players before, like... they took time off. They weren't around. They didn't go to this tournament. And then they come back and they
absolutely
they excel.
That is real. There is a value to that, but I feel like there's no science to it, obviously, so we can't do Lebo on this one. But I can tell you that when you take a month off, that fucks with you really bad. But I am a firm believer that, and this is like a little bit counterintuitive to what people believe. They're like, you should actually put more time into practice. Like, I've been playing for 10 hours. I deserve a vacation. And then like someone from the community like. Slams you with a bamboo stick. It's like, you fuck. Make it 15 hours and just for talking about vacation?
Now it's 16 hours every day.
And that's what you should do to get better. But I'm a firm believer that you should, every once in a while, take a couple days off, a weekend, 3-4 days maybe, unwind, relax, fall in love with the game again, come back, and then you're just clear. You play better. But a month? No. That's too much.
I think, I mean, the thing is, she was already, like, doing really, really well beforehand, so I don't feel like her going away for a month is just going to make her, like, even better. Like, she was already super good. But Scarlett's never been the type of player who has, like, needed to grind a lot of games. She always just, like, watches games and then somehow just, like, replicates it. And I honestly really don't see her getting out of this group. She did make a joke. I'm hoping she was joking. She said she didn't want to make it out of group because she, like, missed Canadian Thanksgiving or something, so she actually didn't want to make it out, but she even beats Crank all the time. She beats Money Gun, Puck. I just can't see her getting out of this.
Just call him Money Gun? Why has nobody made that joke yet? I think you called him Money Gun.
He's not on EG. All
right, that's a good point. He's on route. Penniless Gun. The Beggar Gun.
Well, Scarlett versus Crank game one about ready to begin. And
well, by about ready, I mean like 20 minutes.
Well, I mean, well, 44 seconds to come back on the broadcast.
DJ Wee, it's only 5 p.m. and this only started like an hour ago. This needs to stretch till about 11 p.m. So they've got to run some commercials between. So.
You're right.
11 p.m.?
Yes.
Then these groups are going to be, I assume they're going to make the drawings. I don't know when, but it's really not until the 14th when these round of 16 begins?
Yeah. It's really weird. They stagger it like really hard.
Okay. Well, we'll find out.
Are they doing the whole, is round 16, round 16 is offline, right?
Yes.
Not round of 8 like Europe?
Oh, that's why.
Or no. Well, Europe
round of 16.
Round of 8 was offline too, wasn't it?
Yeah. I'm just offline? Super egocentric.
You're confusing me.
The show doesn't start till in control gets there. That's what my brain is telling me. But
what's wrong?
It's in California, right? And then no the season finals are in Toronto. And then that's the NA finals, right? No, we got it wrong, guys. Finals is in Toronto. Season three.
So it's still going to be in
NA finals. Yeah, I assume so. That's what I was asking, but I'm pretty sure. Right?
Really?
Train wreck.
Archon merging.
Global finals are in Toronto. I know that much.
I believe that's correct.
And you don't go to Canada twice in a year, so the other finals has to be in California.
The global finals are at BlizzCon.
Yeah, thank you, Wheat. We weren't asking about that.
Oh, okay. My bad.
And that is in California, in Anaheim.
You mean the season three finals?
Yes, that's in Toronto.
Yeah.
Let's stop, because this is just us repeating now over and over again.
You mean WCG 2010 and the
Open the phones!
Fire. All right. Are we going to open up the phone lines and take
open up the phone.
Some extended phone calls?
You want to talk about the New York Times article?
What's that? Tell me about it, Suppy. Drop a bomb.
No.
Drop a bomb. Which one?
Yeah, we can talk about that.
What do you think about New York Times did an article on evil geniuses and pro gaming? Really big mainstream thing, obviously. There were some like negative things they tried to do, like that's, I don't know, like they made it like kind of negative, but like on the most part it was pretty positive. So like it's kind of like, yeah, this is cool. Like
it's great exposure. It's a major publication. New York Times is the big fucking deal. And some of the cool comments was, it's like, this is not an online blog attached to a major publication. This was actually part of the major publication. Like, pictures, an article, millions of people reading it. So that's pretty cool. The funny thing about it that Suppy's touching on that I thought, I didn't read the whole article because it was so thick with this shit that I thought was ridiculous. It was like, I'm not going to be able to do this impression very well, but it was like I could hear the like scarfed New York man comes in and is like writing down like, little boy, what are you playing? And he's like, playing my video game, fucking idiot, like obviously. And basically, like if you don't know what this is, you're just a fucking dumb piece of Torito. And the guy, like, all right, okay, and, like, wrote that down. Like, the article is so... It's not scathing. Like, it doesn't talk about Cheetoed fingers. But it was close to Cheetoed fingers. It's like...
It's like day-old, moldy
Puck
bread.
Puck plays his game of StarCraft with his hand exercise equipment and his lady speed stick to the right of his computer with crumpled bag chips surrounding his little haven of nerddom. And he played while tapping his socked feet up against the wooden floor. Like, it was made to make the players look like man-children that were, like, living out the stereotypical, I play video games for a living. Like, that's what the article sounded like to me.
Man-children.
And it culminates with the dinner, where it's like, the dinner was filled with awkward shuffling of eyes and tentative, like, half-spoken sentences and gasps between what wanted to be a conversation... But then the players notice one of their flock text messaging a woman across the country. And they all
Settled
around to help him in this normal social event. But for these nerds, for these little children of men, they needed to aid each other in the jaw.
And I'm reading this and I'm just like, it wasn't fucking like that. Like, we're not like 10 alpha males walking around like, boom, like, what's up, bitches? I'll have the steak.
That's not true, bro.
And then they sit down and they're like banging forks and spoons on the table. And like I don't know what this guy expected, but it was a very normal conversation. But he was looking at it through the lens of like, wow, you guys still play World of Warcraft all the time. But what I'm saying though, I appreciate though that it was like that, but it didn't go that little extra. Cheetoed fingers. There's no mention of Mountain Dew. He was like one mention for Mountain Dew away from me flying to New York and just punching him in the balls. Just right in the balls.
Do you feel like they believe the audience relates a bit more if they kind of paint a picture as such?
The older reading audience would not believe the socially well-adjusted, professional young men making a decent living, learning about the world, traveling the planet, doing what they love, enabling their dreams through the like business aspirations of a fledgling, growing market. That's not a story. That's fantasy.
Well, we're gonna see that story from the Canadian documentary that's coming out soon. I think that's gonna be really nice. So that's gonna be actually focusing completely on the positive. Oh, well, I don't
no,
know.
Absolutely no, absolutely not. What did you just say? Focus completely on the positive? Absolutely not.
Well, it'll show. It won't be like so stereotypical, I think.
They'll always be negative in esports, Suppy. Don't ever forget it.
No, I don't want to hate too much in the article, but I did. That little pinch was funny. But no, I'm not going to do it. It's just, it was really good. Lots of exposure. And maybe more work. Come from it.
Perhaps. All right, we got to open up the phone lines. Yes. Yeah, the answer is yes. You can telephone us 909-581-8519 or Skype me DJ Wheat. So let me set this up, make sure this is all proper so you guys can hear them and they can hear you. And I'll take the first one. And our first caller is going to be area code 615. Hello, gentlemen. Welcome to Inside the Game.
Or gentlewoman.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey, I'm Chris.
Hey,
I missed the beginning of the show, so I don't know if you talked about this. But I was wondering about what you thought of the back-to-school event Blizzard did, and should they be doing more things to kind of push young people to be getting into the games? Maybe high schoolers, maybe as far as middle school, because that's when I got into Brood War. So can you talk a little bit about that and just kind of getting young people interested in competitive gaming rather than just playing games? Thanks, guys.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, appreciate that. This is actually, I'm going to hijack this point really quick, because we did talk about this at great length in our previous episode.
Yes.
Which you can check out on the MP3, right, DJ Wheat?
Yes, you can.
Can you?
Yes.
Oh, shit. People were tweeting me saying they couldn't find the MP3s. Never mind then.
Well, yeah, I mean, Redux is normally the guy that handles the
Well,
MP3s.
Then Redux. Or Resudox, he's usually trying to say that?
Resudox, yes. Redux. Sorry, I left out a syllable there. I just...
Son! Dumbass.
No wonder we lost the MP3s. We lost an entire fucking syllable.
But yeah, not to... We spoke a lot about that. Check out our previous episode, 84.
Yes, do it.
It's either a VOD or on One More Game TV, or there is the MP3. follow Rezudox on Twitter. He tweets it, and then usually we retweet it, or it's in the ITG thread.
Yeah, I just wanted to say thank you, Jeff, by the way. All I would want to say is I would love to see what kind of results. We never will, right? But I would love to see, like, hey, we actually had 8 gazillion people download the game and try it. Obviously, it wasn't that much, but would, you know, love to be on the fly on the wall that that got to see that. So let's take another one then. We're going to take area code 512. Hello, welcome to Inside the Game.
Yes, hello. I have a question for this show.
Sure.
So I was wondering, following the recent events, within DreamHack and
Do you want to mute your stream? I'm sorry, I can hear the stream in the background. It's a little distracting. Maybe you can just, like, mute that.
All right. So, a lot of Koreans seem to be retiring, as I see on TL.net, and it's worrying to me as someone who follows the pro scene. Is this a pattern? Because a lot of, it seems that a lot of people are kind of just switching around, and also with the International 3 being at the same time as the regional finals, do you think Blizzard will address this?
Will address people retiring?
You just get mom?
Who's that? Oh shit, mom! Oh, fuck! Who was that boy? I don't know. Is Blizzard going to?
Blizzard is. I don't think Blizzard has addressed any, like, player retirement, esports kind of things like that.
I don't think Blizzard's going to respond to that.
They're not going to respond to that directly, but they are going to try and make WCS better. They just had their secret meeting or whatever, and I think it's over now. So, I mean, by improving WCS, they'd be addressing players retiring by making it a better scene or something.
Sorry. That's awesome. It's very rare when you get a mom ownage on the call, you know, on the open phones. It's fucking awesome. All right. Ready?
I was going to be all cocky about Scarlett losing this, but all of a sudden I think she's winning.
Oh, look at that.
Where did everything go?
Take from Skype.
Wings are good, man.
Henno from Skype. We got Henno on the line. Hello. Welcome to Inside the Game. What's up?
Hello, thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
I will try to re-ask the question the caller tried to ask. Will you guys try to invest more in the Korean market even after all the retirements? Or would you more like, we have the player we already in Korea all over the world. We don't need more.
Are you German?
We invest into that.
You are German, right?
Yes.
You have an awesome accent.
Yeah, I thought it was German at first, but then I thought it might be Indian. But
don't make fun of him. It's that punk youth attitude.
It's a German-Indian hybrid, am I right?
No.
I actually made myself a Britzel, but you called me completely off guard. I was. I never thought I would come through.
We get that a lot, actually. So, you basically, the question is, with some of the retirements, do you think there'll be less of a focus on Korea? And I would give that out to any of you guys. And I personally feel like, no, these types of things are going to happen. They've been happening in esports for a long time. I think it's just kind of significant. Well, obviously, the Woongjin Star stuff is significant. But, you know, I do think you're talking about players that had a legacy, and retirement's going to be naturals. But what do you guys think, real quickly, since we have talked about this a few times?
Since the Chinese-American wing of EG is being silent right now, I will I'll just say, I think there'll always be a home base in Korea because it's kind of like the spiritual mecca of StarCraft II. There's already been, I think WCS has been proof that Blizzard would like to have their cake and eat it too, in the sense that they have like little island bastions of focus for StarCraft II all across the planet. That's what WCS is trying to be. but I don't think the retirements are going to spurn like a, well, I guess we don't do Korea anymore, and now we've you know, pack it up and leave. I don't think Blizzard will ever do that.
All right. Caller, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Hannah.
That's right.
Thank you.
Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
All right. Moving on. Let's...
Indian Lebo? That's...
Dude, didn't it, like, just a little bit?
No.
Bad?
No.
But German-Indian, man, like, have you ever heard that?
It could happen,
that's
right?
That's crazy. That's so out there. Yeah, of course it could happen. But that's like being like, excuse me, are you Irish-Jamaican? I'm just wondering. Like, I don't know what that sounds like.
Is this the best troll or the worst troll, this guy coming in and asking what the phone number is because he wants to call in?
Let's see.
Worst troll? Best troll? I don't know. Either way. All right, I'm going to take this one. We got Fear Dragon online. Fear Dragon, hello. Welcome to Inside the Game. What's up, buddy?
Hey, not too much. So I actually just had a quick question. It's going to sound like it's a topic that's been rehashed over and over again.
Uh-oh.
But it's about WCS. God. All right, WCS content, obviously always oversaturating everything. It makes it so hard for everyone else to get in. But my question is, why do you think it is that more people haven't focused on shorter content that can either fit in maybe between WCS EU and WCS NA, or right after WCS NA, or maybe before WCS EU? You get the picture. Like, why haven't we seen just 30-minute segments that are maybe even pre-recorded, so they're not actually live, it doesn't have that hype behind it?
Sure.
But at least it's getting in there, right?
Yeah, yeah. Actually, I think this is a pretty great question, you know, because, like, I always have this philosophy that it's actually such a pain in the ass to set up a show that doing it for 30 minutes or 1 hour isn't worth it. Like, I feel, and this is the habit that I personally have. And so that's why even when WCS has been on, we haven't had much consideration for, you know, well, we're not going to do the show during this. Because then, like, when the hell would, you know, we personally do the show? But, you know, I don't know what you guys think. Like, maybe bite-sized content is more what people want. I just think as far as live streams are concerned and how it all fits in there, normally people are they tend to stream longer sessions because I think you get more benefit out of them. What would be interesting is if maybe content creators approached WCS and said, hey, we have some content we want you to throw on here. Maybe you would like authorize or let us, you know, have it be a part of it as a way to get it on some of those viewers. But what do you guys think, since you're streamers and also content creators at the same time?
I think if you, like, if you were going to make a content, like a video or something, right, and it was, like, a really bite-sized thing, you could just release it on Twitter and play it on Team Liquid and stuff like that and on Reddit. Like, I don't know if you would want to go through the hassle of, like, live broadcasting, like a rebroadcast when you can just post it on forums or something. And I don't know. Personally, like, I've never really thought about streaming in, like, 30-minute segments. Like, it just doesn't feel like... it, like, you're committing to it, or it doesn't feel like it's worth it. If I'm going to stream, I'm going to do it for, like, hours at a time, not really, like, a really short period of time. But also, like, when you have WCS EU and WCS NA and WCS Korea and, like, all in succession, a lot of people get, like, burnt out that day. They don't, like, really want to deal with other StarCraft II-related stuff, so you might see, like, a viewership-related drop in that aspect.
There's definitely a place for it. I just think it's something that, you know, I would guess that some streamers look at it from, like, what is, you know, what's my value when I stream for 5 hours or 4 hours or three or whatever. And it might be a little bit harder to establish a time frame where it's like, we're only on this day for 30 minutes. Could be totally wrong about it. I mean, I know there's some, like, smaller developers that do 30-minute community chats or one-hour community chats all the time. But again, you know, like, that's kind of like their only initiative as far as that's concerned. Jeff, did you have any comments on this?
I just agree on a lot of the sentiments. I think part of the reason why there's not shorter content is because in order to get a viewership that makes your content relevant, it takes time to build it up, actually. And I don't mean necessarily broadcast time, but, like, well, I actually kind of do mean broadcast time. Like, you can't just fire on your stream, do 30 minutes, and log off. It usually takes about 30 minutes for a show to rev up and to get its maximum viewer count. So it's not really conducive, but then also you bring on the point of WCS and how it's kind of clogging up the system right now. And I do think that That fatigue is a big, big issue. I mean, rightfully so. People are watching WCS EU and NA, and then the real crazy people are not watching the VODs of Korea, but instead staying up for that too. And that's like 12 hours of StarCraft in a day. So if they see a show that's not their absolute favorite, they're probably not going to watch it.
All right.
Can I give a quick shout out?
Absolutely.
All right, can you guys actually, on this topic, can you go check out my show if you get a chance? It's at 9 o'clock Pacific. It's called Breaking Out. It's about North American players. I don't want to drone this on for too long, so thanks for having me on.
Thank you very much, sir. Appreciate it. Take care. And I'm actually fine with that.
Yeah.
That's a good, decent question. Gentlemen. Let's take this one. We've got Zick. Zick on the line. Hello, Zick. Welcome to Inside the Game. What's up?
How's it going, gents? I'm following up just to inquire sort of how you feel about... earlier we were talking about sort of the cheeto-fingered nerds that kind of hide in their mother basement and just kind of play games, which obviously is an incredibly negative connotation on gamers and especially the professional scene. So how do you guys feel about, or from sort of the EG perspective that you have and from higher marketing, do investors look at the sort of negative connotations that come with this sort of cheeto-fingered nerds and think, I don't want to invest in that, because we have a very healthy demographic, you know, the 18 to what, 24, 30 region, very common viewership. What do you think is it mutually exclusive or viewership that stops the money coming in, or does these negative connotations of our scene affect the money that comes in? I'll take my question off air. So.
Thank you very much, Zach. Appreciate it. We'll do that.
Ciao, guys.
It was Scottish, right? Scottish?
Too late, Lebo.
I think it was UK. Indian.
Scottish Jamaican?
No.
No. Lebo, you need to pay attention to more history classes, man. I think this question is interesting because I think it's almost answered situationally in a timely fashion. Like right now, it's becoming much less the stereotype that nerds or people that play games on a serious level all have cheetoed fingers and drink Mountain Dew and are slobs. You know, that's like the old stereotype that's held against us. I think that and gun control related to video games will always be brought up. It's just they're losing traction, they're losing relevancy with it, because as time goes on, more lifestyle brand sponsors are coming in, gamers are getting older. Like, you're more around 30 years old now that you commonly play games because you can afford to and you have the lifestyle to and you're raised on it. So people will bring those things up. But like, if someone got really mad at Suppy and was like, Suppy, you eat Cheetos and waste your life away drinking Mountain Dew, he wouldn't be offended for even 2 seconds because he doesn't do those things and it's not applicable at all anymore. Whereas if you go back 10 years... and you yell at a Halo nerd, all you do is sit cross-legged, drink Mountain Dew, and eat Cheetos, they would take a little bit more offense to that because that was a social expectation, that was the prejudice against them. But they were also kind of raised up from the culture of people that liked to play games and eat food as a hobby. It wasn't what they did for a living. So it was you more personally attacking what they like to do in their free time. So that's like the progression of where it is as far as I'm concerned.
It's weird that gamers have this, like, sort of that basement-dwelling stereotype in the first place, because even though competitive gaming, which is obviously a subsection of gaming, it still falls under this umbrella. You know, like, what are people's stereotypes of athletes?
The jocks. Like, you know? They're not very smart.
Yeah. So it's not like there's a uniqueness here in some regards, and I think both activities, whether it be sports or whether it be knitting or whatever, and video gaming, like, they're constantly trying to shatter some, you know, type of stereotype. It's just unfortunate, well, I mean, in specific to the comments you were making, Jeff, earlier, that that's how it's going to be conveyed and reinforced to a more mainstream audience. Like, yeah. Can you ever break... can you ever break those stereotypes? I don't know.
Go ahead, Sophie.
I was just going to say, I think another point that would be good to bring up is that for a lot of advertisers, I think they're very hesitant to kind of join in and explore like new forms of media and advertising and kind of, you know, playing it slow. Like it's not proven yet that it works, but obviously like one example I could bring up is like Twitch ads. They can do like some streams do as well as like some TV shows might do, but the ads will not pay the same as the commercials on the TV. And I think that's mostly because they're just not as confident into moving into a new market yet. And so that's maybe one of the reasons that they're hesitating right now.
All right, we took that guy's call offline. He hung up on us, dick.
He was good about it. No.
No, I'm just kidding. That's totally cool. We'll take it offline. Let's take a phone call here. We got area code 760. Hello, welcome to Inside the Game. What's up?
Hey, guys. Long-time viewer, first-time caller. Thanks for all the content you guys put out. Love the show and everything else you guys do.
Thank you very much.
Now, I've got a question. You kind of scooped me on this a little bit, Wheat, but I wanted to know. I read the New York Times piece as well, and I thought, too, like, yeah, it's easy to write this piece, especially because it plays into people's preconceptions about these guys, but there's a very the ratio of stories like that for professional athletes compared to video gamers is much lower, and in fact, there's a whole section of newspapers that's just fluff pieces about athletes and teams to the extent it even covers their lives at all, or just reporting unbiasedly the results of games. I'm curious what your guys' thoughts are about whether and when and what it would take for that to change in the gaming market.
I mean, what do you guys think?
I think it's just something that's got to develop slowly over time. I think we see more and more mainstream media things starting to pay attention to esports, especially as it's growing. We had Forbes do quite a few articles in the past, and now we have the New York Times article. And I feel like as time goes on, they're going to get more and more positive just based on how esports is growing. And also things like I have to point out the International when I forgot Casey, the host, when she went there, I mean, she was she's like a Fox News anchor or something for her local Fox station or whatever. And I think that like just going to the event for her was really broadened her like or really changed her preconception of what the gaming world was. And you could really see how that developed as she spent more time with gamers and in the scene. And so I think as time goes on, we're going to see that kind of transformation for all types of media.
Yeah, I agree with what Sophie said. It's going to happen over time. Wheat and I, Wheat more than me, but not by much. We're kind of like the older guys of gaming. I remember still the very funny like novelty of going to a WCG event and feeling like cattle being pressed around. Like you weren't a competitor. You were part of a commercial, and you spend how much time playing? What? Shut up! You're number 17. Go to desk 10. Thanks, you douche. You know, like it was very gaming wasn't respected like it is now. And I've seen the transformation. I've seen the tone. I've seen media agencies refocus towards wanting to cover esports. I've seen, you know, giant Twitter handles start talking about esports. Like it's happening. It's because it's gaming's getting bigger. And esports is an offshoot of gaming. It's the competitive side. And people are interested in competitive things. That's human nature. So it's going to happen. So that's why when I read an article like this, I see like that transition still happening. Like this article is not scathing and mean. It's
right.
It's not a bad piece about EG. It just still has those pinches of like, hey, readers, these guys are nerds. Like, look how weird
they
are.
Yeah, the ladies' deodorant.
Yeah.
You know,
so there's definitely going to be that, but it's going to be less and less as time goes on.
I think the article itself is progression. Even though it resonates some of these stereotypes, this type of article just wasn't written 2 years ago, period. It wouldn't even get the time of day. So the fact that esports and competition has a presence that it would even get in the first place, you know, sprinkle in a little bit of gaming stereotypes because that's probably what the general audience reading it is going to be comfortable with. Maybe they can relate with it a little bit more. And, you know, hopefully that is one step. Not to say that it's okay to necessarily do that, but I guess if we're going to look at the bright side of things, aside from the exposure itself, you know, 2 years ago, there's just no way. It wasn't happening. Now, I feel like every other week we're seeing major publications starting to write more and more about it. And, I think that that's certainly one of the keys. So, thank you for your call.
Yeah, thank you, man.
Thanks for the answer, guys.
Yeah, take care. Bye-bye. Let's take another one. We've got area code 716. Hello, welcome to Inside the Game. What's up?
Hello. I just wanted to know your guys' opinion on the success of WCS for the players, mainly being more valuable or more profitable for each individual player, or it'd be more profitable and more opportunities needed for each person, each individual. You had IPL and Fight Club.
You mean basically, is it more financially beneficial to the players now during WCS, or was it more financially beneficial in the past? That's actually a good question. I wonder what the actual data says. I mean, I almost have to immediately say the past, but I don't know if the numbers would reinforce that. It's just kind of what my brain's saying. What do you guys think? Let's look up esports earnings.
I'll just start off by saying, I think if you're just looking at WCS, I think the past WCS, it was easier for people to, because everybody who went to WCS got paid, and it was a lot easier to qualify, obviously, because it was region locked. But if we're comparing it to when IPL, for those types of tournaments, only the top finishers ended up making any money anyways. So it's not, I think in terms of WCS, I think in the past it was better, but I don't know. What do you guys have to think?
It's tough to compare because WCS is not the reason why League of Legends and Dota 2 probably garners larger audiences now. So StarCraft players perhaps were making more via streams, and they had more value to their teams in terms of overall esports value. So it's hard to compare. But as far as is WCS right now a lucrative and better thing for the competitive players in this climate, I feel like it's interesting because in its current state, I would tell you probably maybe not. It's close to not, and I don't want to say that. But I think the things you have to weigh against that are without WCS, do we still not have MLG? Do we still not have IPL? We wouldn't have IPL. So if you're a North American player without WCS, what are you doing? Because NESL, well, I guess NESL would still be around, but that was mostly Korean as well. You wouldn't have that many tournaments, and you're now the third most watched game. So what are you doing to make money? With WCS, at least you have a way to say, hey, team, I just qualified for Premier. I got an all-expenses-paid trip to Anaheim. I'm doing some awesome stuff. You should pay me more money. So it's kind of debatable, to be honest with you. My hope, and what I would add on to the end of this, is that WCS, with a few tweaks and with a little bit more openness to it and a little bit less iron grip in 2014, is unarguably a huge gain to the community. And I think it would be a really, really good thing, and we wouldn't have to spend any time being careful about our language talking about it because we're worried about ignoring that it does hurt our community in certain areas as well.
Lebo or Suppy?
It just, the only thing that WCS really brings, and I think the others have touched on it, is just the stability aspect. We do know that MLGs and IPLs were frequent, but do we, if MLG suddenly wants to drop SE2 for, one event like they did, then, I mean, some players just don't have anything to prepare for, 10 months or something like that. And you don't know when the next event is. But with WCS, somebody at a high level always will have something to do. So, yeah, there's that aspect.
Good question, though, man. And I think people should always keep looking at WCS and not necessarily just be critical, be thankful for the cool parts of it as well. But it's an ongoing conversation because it's so integral to our game. WCS is our game at this point, you know. Not as much as LCS is to LOL, but it's up there. You know, we need it.
Thank you very much for your call, man.
Great. Thank you.
Take care.
Jeff.
What?
Jeff.
Yeah, I was wrong.
Jeff. Now,
all right.
Can MiniWheat still make
through the
comeback?
Transitive property, this does mean conclusively that I am a better Protoss player than Crank and probably Minigun because Crank then also beat Minigun.
That math.
Yeah.
Lebo math. Hashtag Leave them
out. It's a transitive property, man. You have to respect the transitive property.
You do have to. It's a big word, so that means it's probably pretty right. Yeah, I got it.
I got it. All right. We'll see. Maybe Minigun will still claw back. Could happen. Minigun. We're gonna take this call. We got Thomas on the line. Thomas, hello. Welcome to Inside the Game. What's up, Thomas?
Oh, hello, DJ Wheat.
Hi. What's up? How's it going?
Good. I just wanted to say two things to you guys. First off, you guys are great, very entertaining. I was wondering if you guys ever think about just bringing yourself to the players more. Like, you guys are hilarious, for one. So I was wondering, maybe like during WCS, show like a 30-second clip. You know how they've been doing like Pulse? Show us a funny clip of Suffy saying Juanito 100 times, you know? And another thing I wanted to ask you guys, just throw this out there, you know J-Dong? Do you guys remember the Thong song? Back
we
in
do.
The 90s? Yes.
Yes, Cisco, of course. Sure.
Yes, hilarious.
Big fan, actually.
Oh, do you guys, I meant to say the Dong song, actually.
Nice. Thank you for that.
Yeah,
that was good.
We should definitely, I would love to hear some more of that.
Okay.
Something like, I'd like to see your banelings blow.
That would be something.
Maybe see a little.
Yeah. If you know Tempo, that would be a good song to write. Email Tempo.
All right. Thank you for calling, man.
Yeah,
thanks, Thomas. Appreciate it.
Yeah, we'll answer your question off air. So Suppy brings up a great point. Did you want to send in any videos for those players that do WCS that they can show between WCS games?
Do I want to? Yeah. If they asked me to, I'd totally be down for that.
That way they can show it between the guys that do actually play WCS, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Jeff is...
He had to make me drive it home. He didn't get it the first time. Yeah, hold your cat. Let the cat come, for God's sake.
I would be totally down.
Oh, my God.
The guy says this, and my first thought is, I'm like, oh, let's look at Suppy's cam. And Suppy's just like...
Yeah, I'd send in videos. Yeah, that'd be great.
No, that's a good idea.
No, you're supposed to be playing the games.
No.
You're supposed to be playing the games, and then they ask you to say you're watching StarCraft like the Muslim did.
NASL did
some... Muslim?
Yeah, watching StarCraft.
Shots fired.
What is that face?
That was his smile.
I did... They filmed me in MLG, and I was like, you're watching WCS America. And then I was like, bleh. And then they didn't play it at all, and I was pissed.
You were like, bleh?
Did you actually do a shimmy, and then you're wondering why they didn't show it?
I did.
I'm trying to break the stereotypes. We just got them talking about this.
I did way more than that. Go ask NASL what happened to my missing footage. Because if they don't use it, I want to keep it. Just
what happened to Suppy's missing footage? Why'd the Illuminati run off with it?
Right.
Are they going to make a documentary about it?
Did they promise to show you that video, Suppy? That would happen? No.
I was under the impression that they were going to use it.
Oh.
Wow.
Then they didn't.
They say they don't have it. There it is. Take another call. Area code 484, welcome to Inside the Game. And why did NASL lose Suppy's footage?
484, welcome to Inside.
And why is the stream not muted?
Hey.
Hello.
What's going on, DJ Wheat?
Not much, man. How are you?
Good. I just got a question for you guys. You know, I can't really speak for the professional mechanics of the game and all the high level stuff you guys are talking about. I'm just a gold level Terran player. But what I do want to know is, does Blizzard ever like reach out to you guys that do Inside the Game for developing stuff for each race?
Yes. Not necessarily us specifically. Like, from time to time, I'm sure each of us, except for Lebo, could say that we have had that discussion before. But they watch and they talk to a lot of the community figures, and they're very plugged into the community. I know that. I actually, one of the biggest fans of StarCraft II is Mike Morheim, the freaking king on the mountain. And his game is StarCraft II. And there's been a few times where I've maybe been a little bit energetic about my criticism, and not too shortly thereafter I get a little bit of a message saying, hey Jeff, appreciate what you're saying, but maybe tone it down a bit. And I'm like, don't kill me. Yes, of course. So yes, they do.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, because I was just wondering, like, you know, I always watch people streaming, like, you know, Avillo and all different types of people, and I just, like, I feel like everyone just bitches about each other's race, and I just wonder if they ever reach out to you guys and ever, like, try and get their questions answered.
They do not reach out to Avillo to ask him about Terran. No.
So, yeah.
Zero hate. No hate here. I'm just guessing when Avillo... That's it.
Besides the fact, like, is any StarCraft player not bitched about another race? Like, is it... I think it's kind of like your birthright into StarCraft. You know, like, my son is not going to really be a player until he's just... Fuck Protoss! God! Fuck! You know? I mean, it's a rite of passage. Like, but it's not...
There is acceptable levels of this, though, and then you hit the comedy point. Like, we do have a few people in our. Everyone bitches and everyone complains, but you shouldn't do it too much.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
I'm gonna take this one. I don't know how to pronounce his name, so I'm gonna try to butcher it as minimal as possible.
Please be Indian.
I think we have Jeeljan. Hello, welcome to Inside the Game.
Oh.
Hello?
What? Shit. Oh, I'm actually on the show. Awesome.
Yes, hello. Welcome. Hey. Welcome.
Hello. So, my question to you guys is, Blizzard is moving more from, or at least that's my impression, from balancing the game to, because the game, as far as I can tell, at least as a diamond level player, not a very good impression maybe, it is very balanced, so maybe they're moving more from balancing the game to, making it more, have more variety. So the, for example, the Widowmine and the Siege Tank, so buffing the Siege Tank and nerfing the Widow at the same time. What do you guys think about such changes to the game where they're trying to steer the metagame in a certain direction? I'm going to shut down the Skype call now.
All right, thank you.
Thank you for the question.
There is actually a really interesting I Love OOV article about what Blizzard is doing right now and how they're steering the metagame, and he basically said that, I'm not sure if he says that he doesn't like it, but he does say that, like, in Brood War, since they didn't patch anything, and there was a lot of time where, like, Protoss was in, like, some deep shit or something, and then all of a sudden, like, Null, like I said, I was a fetus during these times.
You were a fetus during this time.
Like, Null Raw came out with some sick, like, Reavers, yes. No, Action, like,
Evo, let me give you perspective on that, because you okay, so for people that didn't follow Brood War, I Love Uvi, or Uv, was a son of Boxer, one of the originals. Boxer brought him in under his wing and turned him into what was one of the best Terrans to ever play the game. The thing that doesn't get said as much is that I said one of the best Terrans to play the game, because there was a small fucking army of Terran players that passed torches from one hand to the next and said, you know what? You just win the next 100 games. You win the next 5 star ladders. You go ahead. Take millions. Like, just Terrans. Just sharing victory over victory over victory. And he has the audacity to come out with an article and say, I don't like the way he's balancing the game. I don't like it. If it weren't for balancing back in Brood War, what of those 3 Protoss that rose above and almost won stuff, kinda? What about the heroic effort of Null Raw and that one time he used Reavers on Peaks to Baked to beat Savior, despite all odds, because Protoss was a god-awful, terrible race in Brood War? What about that time? That's like the King of England in the most oppressive time you could ever imagine, being like, I like the way this is. If it weren't for this, think about the cool stories the peasants have, like... I heard about a guy eating his son just to live. I mean, that the heroism, the bravery to just munch through your offspring, just from toe to head, just to survive.
If we gave them money and food, what of the stories? That's what I Love Oof says. And it's one of those things where it's like...
What of the stories?
Like... And he's like, I don't like the direction of StarCraft 2 because what does he want? All the races to win equally? Like, yes, I Love Oof. I would, if I was like a reporter holding a microphone up and he starts saying this, I would have rushed the stage, tackled him, and just been like, you're so wrong. And I'd beat him. I would just beat him to a pulp.
Oops.
And the worst part about it is that because he's so respect, he's, he deserves the respect. He's an amazing player. But because he says that, there's people out there going, like Lebo, young and impressionable, going, holy shit. I never thought of it that way. It was imbalanced and really hard on somebody, but that was good because some people were able to do well despite that. Huh. Cool story, bro. I'm going to go practice more Terran games and drop mules.
GG.
So yeah. Avila basically just said, I was watching Avila's stream, and then he went on to explain something. And on a serious note, though, I watch Avila's stream all the time. I'm actually being serious.
I did too.
I think a lot of people
it's really
do.
Fun.
Avila's
it's a fun stream.
Kick ass, man.
It is. It's a fun stream.
All right. It's time for, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the one and the only Goatlust. Hello, sir. Welcome once again to Inside the Game, gentlemen. Goatlust.
Oh, g'day, gents.
Good fucking day.
Hello. You guys enjoying yourselves?
A little bit. A little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Always.
Yep. I am.
Oh, definitely.
What about
you? Oh, fuck yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Did you watch any movies?
What do
they
you mean?
They don't have movies in Australia. They just send actors abroad to go make them.
Idiot. I actually watched a movie last night, Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, first time I've ever watched it.
What? Oh my god.
It reached Australia, finally.
And what did you think?
In a bottle? Like that
I thought it was like, a pretty good movie.
What's this shit?
Was it on fucking VHS?
You were like, I'm surprised he's not still on Living Color. When did he have time to make a movie?
And how was it, Gutless?
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Did you laugh?
Yeah, I did, actually,
okay,
yeah.
Good. I laughed at that fucking movie. It's hilarious. It's absolutely stupid, but that's what makes
it so
good.
Do not go in there! Woo!
Some excellent shit.
Wait a second, Suppy, have you even seen that movie before?
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
God, Suppy. When I first saw that movie, I didn't know what a hemorrhoid was, so the end of the movie was very confusing to me.
Oh, my God.
Hey, I'm not alone. Look at Lebo.
Suppy, have you seen Ace Ventura?
I don't even go outside. What?
Have you seen Ace Ventura, Pet Detective?
He just learned about George Washington, Suppy. You want to use him as an example? He just learned about George Washington.
I haven't even watched the Titanic.
Wait, who said you have to watch... You only have to watch the second half anyway.
Well,
paint me like one of them French girls. Can I tell a quick story, by the way, before we get into real stuff?
Yes.
Anna pointed this out. They made a Halloween, Thanksgiving, like children's park next to our apartment complex. You know, with like the haystack ride and pumpkin carving, all that shit. Just like a little kid festival. One of the things they have is a giant inflatable slide, like a big wedge.
Yeah.
The kids can ride down. It's to the theme of the Titanic. It's the sinking ship, and kids slide down the sinking ship into the deathly cold waters where everyone dies.
All right, guys.
Died.
Oh, my God. So I got a new idea for, like, the latest blow-up slide, man. Like, just... Yeah. Oh. So what we're going to do is we're going to make a ship that's sinking that goes into the fucking iceberg.
It's real life. And they might as well be singing London Bridge is Falling Down while doing it.
It's going to be amazing.
It's so morbid.
Goatless, what's your question this week?
I'll tweet a picture of that shit later.
All right.
Please do.
All right. So, I feel like lately, when I'm watching, StarCraft, it feels like, you know, these tournament organizers are getting into a groove, you know? And I was wondering if you guys think that we need to be breaking out some off-the-wall shit again, you know, like getting the heart rate monitors out and stuff like that and, you know, throwing a few curveballs to keep it interesting. Because, I don't know, I haven't seen so much of that lately.
Yeah, kind of interesting, right? Like, so innovation has been made over the last 3 years, but not all of it has stuck. I love the heart rate monitors, you guys. I thought that shit was intense, especially for a game like StarCraft that has so many waves of adrenaline that could possibly hit a player. And to also see
definitely
players who are cool, calm, and collected in certain situations where you just where I would be shitting my pants. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I really think that's an awesome thing that they did, and I don't know why they haven't brought it back. And I know that some other organizations are looking to spice things up with like a 2v2 tournament or something. I've heard some people doing. There's the Husky all or like Imba League maps that have been spicing things up, but that's not really tournament competitive.
Spicing things up.
Yeah.
So up here, you're just trying to plug your fucking appearance in that thing. Is that what you're trying to do, real quick?
No.
What do you?
I like the heart rate monitor.
Okay. Levo or Jeff? Or any innovation? You know.
I'm going to be honest with you. Like, certainly the innovation. I think everyone should always be pressing for that. The where are their eyes going and the heart rate monitor? Personally, not so much about it. I don't really have a strong argument. There's no epic. I really care about this. Like, it didn't do anything for me. Is I guess all I would add. My interest didn't rise or dip when I saw that they were doing that. But I do like you saying that tournaments should innovate because there hasn't been a whole lot of that. The more I think about that, in a while, you know what I mean? Like, and I'm not even just talking StarCraft 2. In fact, one place that we could talk about innovating and has been something worth watching is that I felt like LCS has done a great job making this. I haven't really been watching a whole lot of Worlds, but they put on a freaking show, man. They put on a damn big show, and they're getting front page coverage across the board on their thing, and it's really growing competitive gaming. And I know we've made a lot of jokes about LOL in the past, and I'll continue to make them because...
You've?
What's that?
You've?
Yeah, like I said, DJ Wheat and I have made a ton of jokes about League of Legends.
I actually, they've made one innovation that I think is one of the greatest things that we've seen for you know, MOBAs. And I would just say, like, a thoughtful for esports in general. Because one of the things that's a challenge for any game, it doesn't matter who you are or what game you are, is that, you know, anything you could do to make something that's easier to understand is really important. And when you've got sort of five players on the field and they each sort of represent a global health bar, I think I might have actually brought this up in the last on the last show. But you know, I almost wonder in watching the semifinals this past week, I almost wonder if there isn't something, you know, something else that StarCraft, and I mean obviously Dota could emulate the exact same thing and get the same results, but I wonder if there isn't something that StarCraft could do in a similar fashion, like is that army value where you just like are able to see the you know the army value graph like as a fight's taking place. Like I think there is some consideration to take, and you know obviously the point being innovation should never stop, and I don't think ever will stop. People are going to come up with cool and awesome things that we're going to wish is at every single tournament, but frankly, it's probably unrealistic to expect everyone to just mimic everyone else. But yeah, I think that, you know, looking at other games, how they do stuff, the one thing that we have been getting right, that everyone's been getting right, is just, you know, casters, hosts, interviewers, presenters, you know, the type of content in between games, etc. But yeah, I constantly yearn for innovation, for sure.
So do you feel like, you know, we could get some sort of, like, action replays of like important fights like they kind of do in League of Legends? I mean, it's a bit different in StarCraft, but I mean, I think they could at least do some stuff like that.
Well, MLG was starting to do a lot of that after games. And I think even NASL do like some sort of instant replay thing after matches.
And I mean, even in Brood War, we had that whole shit where it'd switch over to the, to, you know, player's point of view, and you got them clicking around and fucking flicking screens like mad, and it just, you know, it sort of added another element to the show. And I feel like we're just, StarCraft's in a bit of a rut. We just, you know, show the games these days, look through the production tabs, and, you know, we got our stuff at the start and the end of the game, but there's nothing different happening in the game apart from, you know, game heart.
So, Lust, I hope you're sitting, but I will be proud to inform you that this coming weekend at WCS Season 3 Finals, you want a production? You got it. I'm going to be wearing a suit, and it's going to literally knock your kangaroos out of their dingoes and right into the water in front of the Sydney Opera House.
Oh, God, yeah, mate.
Oh, God, yeah.
All right, mate. Shit. I'll make sure to tune in just because of that, Jeff.
Very good.
Awesome.
All right, mate.
Awesome.
Don't,
thank you,
don't
sir.
Don't let me down. All right.
Thank you.
Thanks,
take
fellas.
Care. Yep. Bye bye. You know
that reaction?
Oh fucking god, mate. You know, I just—it's funny because we are a bunch of entitled pricks, right? Like
we all are.
I mean, gamers and what. And you look at the innovation that's happened over the past 4 years, it, just in streaming alone, and how far it's come. And I immediately think back to every once in a while, I'll see an old footage from like a 1980s, or 1970s basketball game. And I'm like quickly reminded that like, oh my fucking god, they were like so behind on technology and just really just focused on the game, and then obviously the interviews, the players and whatnot, but it never really was that pretty. You know, their score clock was sometimes an actually superimposed score clock that came directly from the arena's clock and shit because they didn't have the ability to synchronize it yet. But you know, I was looking at some of these some of these pictures, like just even what, just the text that was used, etc. You know, we should be damn thankful for how awesome everything looks right now, and just grateful that these organizations and coverage groups, they continue to want to make these innovations. So my hat's off to everyone who is constantly trying to push the limit. And that's all I have to say about that.
Hats off.
That's it. Gentlemen,
all right.
Let's wrap up.
Wrap it up.
Gentlemen, Xenocider, another all right. Episode.
Let's see. Think of a story here. Okay. So I was going to try out for the football team.
That's
think
a goddamn lie.
Yeah, it's a satirical story to whore right. myself out for Twitter followers. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Anyway. Okay, so I was going to try out for the football team, which, like, I'm a football type of person, right? You know, you can
definitely
tell by my physique.
Yeah, your build.
Quarterback, I would say, yeah.
So, like, I was asking the coach, you know, like, what do I need to get on the team? You know, like, I just can't get the touchdowns, right? That's what, yeah, okay.
I believe it, yeah.
Okay. So, and then he told me, you know what every single one of these guys have that you don't have, Lebo? It's 2,500.
I want to know how all these guys in high school have 2,500 Twitter followers. Are you? Did you ask your coach if they bought these Twitter followers, perhaps?
You know, I think that's actually what it is. I don't know. We'll never know.
I got to go. One sec.
So follow my Twitter at EGZRC. Thank you.
That's fantastic. I love it. Suppy, gentlemen, Suppy.
This hello. Week, hello. This I'm going to say the aspiring Xenocider football player. We will both be playing in WCG National USA Finals this
USA,
weekend.
USA! We're both trying.
I'm going to beat him 2-0. Yeah.
We're both, screw
I'm
you.
Beat you.
Dude, you want to fight, dude? Right now.
You should fight.
Yeah, we'll fight. And, It's going to be me, him, and Puck. So, like, obviously, EG's going to win.
Of course.
I'd like to give a huge shout-out to our team, Evil Geniuses, and all of our sponsors. I have this nice, really sexy jacket now. Look at that. Monster Energy, Kingston HyperX, Astro. What else is there? Razor? Where's Razor? There's the Razor. XMG, Sam. Jinx, Need for Seat. Thanks for all of our sponsors for this sexiness that I will be able to put on my back tomorrow as I go to WCG and win. And follow me on Twitter at EGSuppy. And go, Gentlemen in Control.
All right. First of all, I want to thank all of my sponsors, Shiny Things, Razor, Twitch, Need for Seat, and Barracuda. Barracuda is a refrigeration company based out of Wisconsin. They are a lovely bunch of people. Really happy that they're branching out to esports. And, of course, Shiny Things is a aluminum company that develops some of the best aluminum you could actually ever use. So do check them out at shineeey.net.org.edu. It's a conglomerate website based out of Kentucky. That's it for my sponsor shoutouts, because that's all the ones that I have. You guys aren't doing... Thank you. God, some fucking laughter. So I don't feel so awkward.
I loved it.
A joke! Anyways.
Serious time.
I leave Thursday for WCS Season 3 Finals in Cologne, Germany. If you guys are attending, I cannot wait to meet you. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be great games. We're going to crown a European champion. I'm stepping in for Red Eye. Red Eye cannot host that event because his sister went and got married. Idiot. But I'll do the best I can to be entertaining for you guys and keep the show moving along. Shout out to Apollo. Cannot wait to see him. But also shout out to everyone at the ESL production staff. I've been talking about how good of a job they've been doing for a while. We all have. And I'm really excited to go see what it looks like behind the curtain and then report back to us over here in America. Moving forward, October's kind of a quiet month in terms of esports, I believe. It's the WCS stuff.
And that's why we're doing 7 days of Dark Heresy every day for 4 weeks of October. No,
I wish to. Speaking of roleplay stuff, though, tomorrow we're doing our roleplay D&D show at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, which is 5 p.m. PDT for some of you. And that's on ItMeJP's stream. And just a big shout out to everyone. You know, we got the, like we talked about at the beginning, the Papa John's, the competition was nice. The 12,000 people turned out. It was cool. It's been a rough couple of days. A lot of some more negativity kind of coming my direction in particular. And part of the way that I get through that is because there's so many supportive, reaffirming, nice people. And they reach out to me, and it's just awesome. Like, I would never tell you I don't fuck up. I would never tell you that I haven't said dumb things. But what I would tell you is that when I do those things, I strive to do better and I ask for forgiveness. And a lot of people have given me those opportunities. And that's just awesome. So thank you. And I leave Thursday, like I said, but I will do the show tomorrow and maybe stream. But I try not to stream during WCS, so I might not as well. So, oh, and I'm going to go see Prisoners tonight with Greg. So I will tweet a review about that. I've heard cool things. Should be a great movie. So I'll see you guys later.
I'd like to echo what In Control says. I fuck up all the time. All I can do is apologize and move on and hope that we'll still be friends. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for watching Inside the Game, episode 85. We appreciate it. Tomorrow I've got Live on 3, and I'll see you this weekend for some general streaming. League of Legends Worlds and the WCS Finals should all – or, well, the EU Finals. But thanks for joining us here tonight on another episode of ITG. Gentlemen, peace. We're out of here.